Hey, Geekscape, welcome to our brand new Geekscape podcast, and this one is our San Diego Comic-Con 2019 preview with our good friend Matt Kelly.
Hey.
Matt not only hosts the Horror Movie Night podcast, or co-hosts it with Brian and Scott, but he is also the person who runs our podcast network, which is growing in ways that it just grows so fast, I don't even know all the podcasts, and I think Matt knows that, because whenever I try and promote the podcast network, I mainly say Horror Movie Night and then Derek Krennevelt's new show, the Xbox Game Passengers. And beyond that, I'm like, wait, what's the name of Steven's podcast?
Analog Jones and the Temple of Film.
Analog Jones and the Temple of Film, which I just want to call it Analog Jones.
Which I think is what they go by at this point.
Where Steven goes and finds VHS movies and based only on the cover, gives them a review and then watches it, and like I think
they're doing an all 80s action month, so they just did RoboCop, which
it's
is
fantastic.
Yeah,
and we also have other shows like we have Matt Mania, which is a cool wrestling podcast from our good friend Megaran,
who will be signing at our table this weekend.
We're gonna get a chance to see him.
We're gonna hang out with Megaran.
Oh my god, this is a great week. I'm really, really, really excited about it. Matt has been taking on a lot of the schedule, so I don't even know who we're gonna be seeing this week. I know a few people that I've sent to Matt, and it's been fun because God bless you, Matt, because I'm equal parts arsonist and firefighter when it comes to Geekscape. I'm like, yeah, let's do this. It'll be a lot of fun. And then I'm starting a fire, and then I'm like, yeah, let's try and put it out. And you're like the fire chief this year. You're the person who's like really in charge of helping me put out the fires that that I instigate. But that's been Geekscape from the start, and I really appreciate everything you've done for the brand and everything you've done for our community. And I do think of it as our community. It's hard for me to think about it as a podcast anymore because it's turned into so many little iterations. What I think about is maybe like in Willow when they fucking drop.
Welcome to Geekscape, yeah, where Willow is our remember, reference point.
Remember in Willow when they they kick that magic thing into the, and the troll grows into like this multi-headed, the troll like splits open and this multi-headed thing comes out of it. I was just the troll.
Geekscapist, you need to get on that meme for us, please. Yeah. Just a multi-headed troll that is like horror movie night, yeah. Xbox
all
Game
these different things. We make videos, we make all sorts of different projects. Matt just is working with his brother and Scott on finishing up the horror movie night pilot that we're working on this right now, and I have a small part in it, but we...
It's not a small part. You're practically like the fourth member of the show.
Don't let that... Hey, Geekscapists, I haven't seen it yet. I'm a little scared to see it, so I'm waiting to see it later today with Matt after we finish this podcast. And then we're obviously finishing Chasing Fletcher Allen, and we have a lot of video and film stuff working on that we're working on, and there's a couple little things that I'm working on as well. When you're listening to this week, if Comic-Con has started, then you can go and visit geekscape.net because we have a brand new website. You may be like, hey, this website isn't anything fancy. That's the point. As I told Matt, this is a website that we had to kind of launch for a while now, and thank goodness that we have the wonderful Paul West coding it and being so awesome with us. He is a Geekscapist through and through. And Paul mainly built this site to clean up a lot of things that were going on with the old site, from broken links to image discrepancies, just all the things that happen when you have a website for over 10 years, especially when upgrades happen and different software starts coming out in the web and users actually change their behavior.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that starts splitting the seams, and our website was not clean, our website was not fast, our website was not efficient anyway. We're now working hard to do that, and Paul has given us that ability. So it's an infinite scroll. It is designed to be for you guys who are on mobile, which is the majority of you. I mean, when we started that website 10 years ago, we were all on laptops or desktops. Now, the vast majority of the visitors who go to Geekscape are using it for a mobile experience, and we're still going to put up tons of articles, and Derek's fantastic, and he's in charge of all the articles and all the different stuff that goes up on the website. If you want to write for Geekscape, please email me, jonathan@geekscape.net. This is a place for you guys, and Geekscape, I called it a community earlier today on the show just now, but it is very much a community. If you wanted to get your voice out there, that is all Matt wanted to do 13 years ago. Yeah. And now he's a part of it. That's all Derek wanted to do, is write some articles, and now he's helping run the site. There's a place for you guys, which was the design of Geekscape. There's a place here that maybe you don't find a place like that anywhere else in the cosmos. You'll find it here in Geekscape, and we'll build our own little cosmos together.
So I had the first ever article on Geekscape.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever.
Ever. It was the top five coolest teens in film history.
Wow. And who do you remember who your top five teens were?
I remember that Styles from Teen Wolf was in there.
You got Rudy.
Rudy was number one. Yeah. I can't remember the rest. I think Booger made the list.
Yeah, Booger would be... I mean, well, Booger wasn't cool, man.
No. But, yeah, it was literally from, like, the Facebook days. Mm-hmm. When I was talking to you on Facebook about your podcast.
Was it MySpace?
No. We were doing both.
Okay.
We were on both. But you were like, hey, we're going to finally launch a site. Because at the time, it was just forums. And you're like, we need some writers. You want to write something? I'm like, I don't know. I can do, like, this top five list. You're like, do it.
Well, that's great. That's great. That's what kind of what we're doing right now is we're going down a little bit of memory lane, but we're also looking forward to Comic-Con, as Matt surprises me with the guests that we've invited into our home. You don't have to do it yet, but you mentioned our good friend Ryan, who plays Rudy.
Yeah.
Now, it's really funny that Ryan, who from Monster Squad, who we've become friends with over the years, I just talked to him earlier this week because Stranger Things Season 3.
Yeah.
In Geekscape, I hope you've seen Stranger Things Season 3 if you're a fan of Stranger Things Season 1 and 2, because I think this is the best season.
I would 100% agree. If not the best season, it's tied with the first season.
I was one or two episodes in. I mean, no, I think I was like 10 or 20 minutes in when I realized that every scene was about a minute or two long, and there were a lot of scenes. There was, at this point, a very wide cast of characters, all with disparate storylines going on that were all really engaging, really clipping through it pretty fast. Yeah. And 20 minutes into the season, there's already so much character going on. It's all action.
When I post,
it was fantastic.
I posted a thing where I said, like, I'd be perfectly content because I was watching it one episode a day.
Okay.
I was, like, trying to break it up.
That's not a bad way to do it.
And I had hit a point where I was like, I would be totally fine if, like, they decided season four, just no spooky shit, and we just, like, spend, like, a summer hanging out with these characters because they're so fleshed out now that just watching their inner turmoil was captivating to me before even any spooky stuff happens.
In Geekscape, we won't spoil anything from season three here, but I agree wholeheartedly with what Matt was saying. I found all of the characters' storylines engaging, whether it was just Billy, is that right? At the pool, dealing with the older women who are hitting on him. Or,
I mean, I want a show that's just Steve and Dustin just hanging out.
Not just Steve and Dustin, but...
With Robin.
Yeah. Robin, for me, was like a major highlight of
the
season.
Oh, she stole the season.
She was fantastic. Well, Robin and the little sister.
Yeah. Oh, that whole... give me a show of just them, like... I don't know, like, becoming, like, teen detectives. You know, like a Hardy Boys...
It was so much
show
fun.
Just starring the four of them.
And she's just talking trash to them the entire time. And at first, you're like, I hate this little ice cream girl. I hate her. I hate her. I hate her. She's so annoying. And then when shit starts hitting the fan, you're like, yeah, she's kind of the voice of reason.
Yeah.
I think she's awesome.
She has that one line where she's just like, look, I told my mom that I'm staying at Tina's, and Tina's will cover for me, but if I miss the barbecue at my uncle's house tomorrow, I'll kill all you. She's so focused on herself throughout the whole... Even when shit's hitting the fan, she's still very focused on her.
And I also felt like the Duffer brothers, who have become... I mean, they're great, and I think Sean Levy... did the third episode. He directed a lot of the earlier episodes, and the Duffer Brothers would do a couple of the episodes, but they did the first two out of the gate. They did some of the bigger episodes this season. Their skills have gotten better. Their writing is so much tighter this time. And whereas I think that season two, there was a little bit of a self-consciousness about, okay, we were such a success in season one. Season two, it almost felt like there were parts that caved in a little bit under the pressure of its own legacy.
Yeah, I agree.
This one felt like they were playing fast and loose. The camp was cranked up in a lot of these scenes. The horror elements, the comedy elements, really like the campiness of this concept was being played for a lot of fun and a lot of loud scenes. And then later on, when some really rough stuff starts happening to these characters... there weren't a lot of punches being pulled on no. some of this stuff, and you're just like, holy crap, lots of people are dying.
Yeah, no, there's a, and I didn't, there was a certain point, because that, Stranger Things isn't really known for, like, body count.
There was a lot of
body count. And there was a point where I'm like, they're going to bring those people back, right? Like, there has to be a way to bring those people back. And then I'm like, oh no, all of these people are dead. Like,
I just yelled out loud, holy shit, yeah. when this is happening, because... Yeah, that's an irreparable thing yeah. that they were doing. Yeah,
so it's like, oh shit!
Yeah, and it was massive, and it was endless. Yeah. You're going, oh god, yeah. this is horrible.
But then, so okay, well, I can't get into that because that's spoilery.
Then you turn around and Steve, or not Steve, the kid's shooting with a fucking slingshot. And yeah. I'm like, hey man, we may be a little far, we may be a little past slingshots. But then you get that beautiful scene with. I can't even spoil
yeah, I'm trying to think of how to word some of this stuff, but I will say
there's
this...
There's a song that comes in from the 80s, and you guys all so know beautiful. What I'm talking about. Our friend Ryan,
yeah.
who played Rudy, sang that song on when he was a cast member of Kids Incorporated. Did you know this?
I didn't know that. I knew he was a cast member of Kids Incorporated, but...
So Kids Incorporated would do these Kids Bop
style... Oh, I remember Kids Incorporated.
Well, they would do these Kids Bop style concerts... Music videos in each in like
yeah,
one
at the end of the episodes, yeah.
Where they would do like that Hooters song, and we dance on the wave of the ocean romance. So they like, but it's like Kids Bop. The kids are performing him, and Ryan was like the lead, and he has a guitar, and I think he's playing or pretending to play it, yeah. and he's rocking out, and he's doing jazz hands. I mean, you got
to
see these.
I'll have to look up this video.
these clips. Ryan just started posting them. They do that song from this season of Stranger Things, the big song everybody's yeah. talking about. And we won't spoil it for you guys here if you still yeah, want to
somehow
watch it,
so. I've missed out on everyone talking about
so,
it.
So, yeah, a lot of my friends were talking about this because everybody loves that song. So Ryan posted this video of him from Kids Bop. Not Kids Bop. it's the same thing. Kids Incorporated. Doing that song on stage, it is the most cheesed out thing, and it's got like the
you gotta watch it when this is over.
Crap effects, the crap transitions and stuff, and he's really going for it. He's a kid's actor. Like, I'm dying laughing, and I wrote him, and I was like, "You mother, I just went down a 30-minute rabbit hole
of your performances on Kids Incorporated,
all of them, all of them." I went through the whole... I mean, the FBI are probably like, this guy, we gotta watch this guy. He's looking at a lot of kids dancing videos.
So not quite the same, but I did that once with Bill Nye on Bill Nye the Science Guy. Would yeah. end every episode with a song parody of whatever was popular.
Oh.
And someone uploaded all like 110 song parodies, and there was like a day, because they're all like 30...
And it's a playlist.
It's a playlist. They're all like 30 seconds to a minute long. I was like, I got 2 hours. Like, let's get through this.
Matt... your tagline. What was your tagline? Your catchphrase.
Well, there was the "Well, I own it," which was me explaining every yeah. DVD.
But... It was like some crap movie. It was like, "Well, I own it." Yeah. And then the other one was that you were the purveyor.
That was you gave me that yeah. nickname, yeah, the purveyor was... of all that was shit.
Yeah, you're the purveyor of all that is shit. So I think a new one is, "Well, I got 2 hours.
I will say, tying back to Rudy as well. And, like, Stranger Things has always reminded me of Monster Squad, yeah. because obviously.
Yeah.
But this one, like, with them just yelling through the walkie-talkies in the last, like, it was like, this is Monster Squad. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking watching Monster Squad right now. I was yeah. so, this season made me so happy.
And then the stakes were so high.
And I think that was the problem, like, I don't think this is spoilery. But one of the biggest issues that I had with... the second season is it kind of falled into the same like sequelitis where it's like, all right, we've got the exact same villains, the exact same situation. And this felt like it was branched off enough where it's still in that world. It still ties into why everything's happening in this town, but it's not just like, and here's some more stuff that the scientists of Hawkins have done wrong.
That's a good point. I didn't actually think about it until you just mentioned it. I don't think this is a big spoiler, but we don't go to the Upside Down.
No. And I think that's important.
Yeah, in season 3, the Upside Down is encroaching on our world.
Yeah.
And in season 2, you're right, there was a lot of Upside Down.
And it was just a lot of like, okay, we're back here again.
I mean, physically going into the Upside yeah. Down. There are obviously parts where Eleven and Will, they do those flashes, and they're in the Upside Down visually.
But like characters actually going there.
Physical characters walking through into the Upside Down. You're right. Season 3, we don't have that. And I just, yeah, good point. You also in Geekscapes, we will get to Comic-Con if you're like, just go to Comic-Con.
Yeah, skip to like the last 10
skip
minutes.
Skip to Comic-Con. We got some signings. See you there. Bye. Derek will be there. Hi. You saw Crawl, the Alexander,
I saw Crawl.
The Alexander Aja movie?
Yeah, I literally saw it before my flight. That was like the last thing I did before I went to bed to wake up in the morning.
This is where there's a hurricane in Florida, and this woman is trapped in her house with the rising waters, and there's an alligator.
Well, she's trapped in the crawl space in the basement with her dad, who was already attacked by the gator previously.
She goes in to rescue him.
She goes in to rescue him. Because no one's heard from the dad while they're doing the state of emergency. Everyone needs to leave.
She's in a boat or something?
She drives through the hurricane, goes into the basement, and then everything starts flooding.
Okay.
And she's, like, trapped down there. And it, the first, like, the acting is not the best, but whatever.
Well, Sam Raimi produced it, which yeah. got me interested. I think Alexander Aja, when he does, like, Piranha, is cool.
That was the problem. I wanted Piranha. Yeah. And like, the first, here's the thing. The first, like, 30 minutes, I was, like, into it, edge of my seat, like
it's pretty badass.
Yeah, well, because like you have
2 hours well spent.
Yeah, well, it's hour and 20 minutes, oh, and it feels like 2 hours, like though, Dumbo. And that's a problem.
No.
So like, the first like 30 minutes before they show you the alligators, it's real tense, and you're like, okay, I like where this is going. Then you start seeing these super CGI alligators everywhere.
There are multiple alligators?
There's multiple alligators.
Well, I thought it was like a monster alligator.
No,
one alligator.
He lives next to a swamp where there's a bunch of alligators that are coming up through the drainage pipe.
Mistake number one.
Yep. So
don't live in Florida.
Yeah. And then
it takes place in Florida?
Yeah, it takes place in Florida, which is funny because...
So this could be a documentary.
It could be. So my brother actually launched a podcast recently, and he's only released 4 episodes, and 2 of the episodes have been helpful tips on how to fight alligators because he lives in Florida.
Is this coming to the Geekscape Network?
It will be there soon, yeah. The Cool de la podcast.
What's it called?
Cool de la podcast.
I can't wait to not promote that on the show. Oh, I know. Because absolutely. I will forget how to say that all
apparently,
the time.
I had no clue what it meant.
What is that?
So it's him and his friend Khalil, who, you know, they're from very different backgrounds growing up, but they've been best friends since they were in junior high.
Okay.
And it's a reference to an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm after Larry David's had his divorce and he's living with, I think it's Charlie Murphy. I can't remember who it is that he's living with. But he says something really racist, and his roommate's like, I thought we were cool de la. And he's like, we're cool de la. We're cool de la. So that's kind of their, because it's them talking about like the differences of growing up from 2 completely different cultural backgrounds throughout their entire lives.
That's deep cut Geekscape.
Yeah, but for real.
If you like deep cuts, you're in the right place.
Yeah, you found the right place. But yeah, it's just kind of, the CGI gators start to look ridiculous, and there's only so many of the same jump scare that you can do with alligators, and that's all that they really have going for them. So by like an hour in, I'm like, I'm sick of seeing water still. Here comes the alligator jumping out. Like, it's like the same. It just becomes too repetitious.
She's peering into the water.
Yeah. It's like,
what's wrong with her just getting the fuck out of there?
Because she has to get the injured dad, and then she gets attacked as well. So they're both injured. They can't walk. They both get their legs bit. It's like
those legs are gone.
Yeah, there's some gnarly shit that happens, but you know, whatever. I'm saving my dumb action time for when was it Stubbs and Hall, whatever that hell the Jason Statham and Rock movie is that's coming out in like a week or two.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, I don't watch the Fast and Furious movies that much, but that seems like it's going to be a good, like, that's going to be a skyscraper for me. That's going to be like a dumb. Watch some crazy action shit and laugh.
I cannot necessarily comment directly because of my work to the side of from Universal.
Yeah.
And I love that my family at Universal and Geekscape is like, what? He does, yeah, secret.
Yeah.
Some of that shit is pretty badass. If there's someone that if I was to rewatch Hobbs and Shaw, it would be with you.
Nice. Okay. Because that's the only thing that sucks. This is like the first trip where there hasn't been like we've got to see that one movie out together, before Comic-Con. Because, yeah. Like, Skyscraper was, like, easy. It's like, oh.
Yeah, Skyscraper was pretty much an automatic. You, Derek, and I are going to go see it.
It was there was no way I was going to watch this movie in any other type of situation.
I think we're the only people in America who saw Skyscraper. According to the box office results, I think they basically just made money on us. But yeah, Hobbs and Shaw is totally up that alley. It's gonna do great because it's Fast and Furious. And to celebrate, I changed my Twitter handle to Fast and Furious Presents Jonathan London, because why don't we all want to live in a world where Fast and Furious basically uses its mentality on everything?
Yeah, I'm it's fine like with it.
Fast, big, and crazy. Hey.
Sign me up.
2019. YOLO. That movie's kind of YOLO persona, like, as a movie.
I'm so like, excited.
You guys are going to go nuts. A lot of fun. Enjoy that. And I'm not just saying that because it's my gig, but yeah.
Because hey, you've told me straight up when stuff's shit, so.
Yeah, I won't talk about, I won't besmirch too much stuff on the podcast these days, because then you get angry emails.
Yeah.
Which I've done. I've been like, really? You're one of my favorite filmmakers, and you emailed me to say that one of my writers didn't like that movie. It's not, oh, come on. So if you want to write for the
Geeks, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, remember that? that person that will not be named. Geekscapist, if you want to write on the website, know that we won't censor your opinion. We will just make sure that your grammar is correct. Well, Derek is the editor, so yeah, he'll just make sure that favorite is spelled with an O-U. he'll make sure that everything's spelled Canadian yeah. style.
Where's this website based out of, eh?
Hey, this website's pretty good, eh? And that being said, we will not censor you. And so if there's something you may not like, if there's a review that's critical, I'll be the catch-all for the shit thrown at me by the creators that you didn't agree with,
yeah.
but gave $20 to.
I can't believe George Lucas would email you like that.
Oh, I would have emailed him right back. If it was George Lucas, I would have been like, so here are my receipts.
Well, you're like, the thing that I don't think most people realize is that you have like zero fucks to give. I will never forget you screaming next to the legendary booth that Frank Miller was there to give refunds for the Spirit. And they had to walk over and be like, Jonathan, Frank in here. Can you please stop?
Yeah, no, well, I figured there was a chance that Frank in his age couldn't hear me.
You took a gamble. It was a 50-50 shot in the dark.
I was like, are you the actual Spirit now?
That was my first or second year at Comic-Con. I don't always remember that.
Are you here to promote the Spirit by becoming a Spirit? That being said, I thought parts of the most recent Dark Knight Returns, Returned Vengeance, or whatever it was, this Dark Knight 3, I thought some parts of that was fun in a Frank Miller-y way. And I read his latest 300 thing about Xerxes, and I was like, oh, it's cool. Like, you know, I'm a Frank Miller fan, but the Spirit, it was his foray into filmmaking.
Yeah, that's the best way to say it.
You know what? It's not for everyone.
Is it?
It may not even be for me.
Would you say, because you've seen almost all of them, is it the worst comic book adaptation movie?
No.
What do you think that one is?
There's stuff that, I mean, I get personal.
Okay.
And I get really personal, and Geekscapers might be like, no! And they did do some stuff recently in Far From Home and in Endgame to redeem this movie in some places. But for me, when they started Iron Man 3, and the voiceover was Tony saying everyone has their demons.
Yeah.
And I was very excited for them to actually be like, wow, they're going to do Demon in the Bottle. They're going to deal with Tony's alcoholism. And it's tough. I get it.
That's right. I always forget that you really dislike Iron Man 3.
It's like there's Disney and their kids go to this and suddenly, like, I understand you can't totally go deep into the alcoholism thing, but I feel like they sidestepped a couple things.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, well, they gave him anxiety. And the anxiety really derails him for that whole thing because he's dealing with the Chitauri technology and the aliens that he's experienced in the Avengers, and now he doesn't know how to be effective in Tony Stark in this post-alien invasion world. But the stuff they do to Pepper is kind of my problem in that movie too, because she's making some really bad decisions in that movie, like not realizing that her ex-employer, who's the bad guy in the movie, played by Guy Pearce, like, who's, like, changed his looks or lost weight and some of that. Like, that's her ex-employer. And he's the bad guy, and he's in her office, and she doesn't totally, like, recognize him, even though she used to work for him. And as of Iron Man 2, they run a Stark's Robotics Expo. And they're a major player in the robotics field. And he's the other big company.
Yeah.
And they keep talking about that stuff. And I'm like, well, Pepper, what kind of CEO are you that you're not even cognizant of the other people in your field?
And that's a good call. I didn't even think about that.
And that's just the beginning of your bad decisions in this movie. And it kind of feels like that movie's been negated a little bit over the history of, you know, because, like, he does things like he gets rid of the, whatever that liquid armor thing that he had in that was in the comics and stuff. And then suddenly, like, that's kind of retconned. So Marvel's done, like, an okay job of, like, retconning stuff and being like, yeah, that wasn't, that idea didn't totally pan out. We're going to just kind of put that under the rug and clean it up. You know, and going back to, just Nick Fury's portrayal in Far From Home, you know, and if you listen to the podcast on Far From Home, that's in the feed Geekscape, it's like, I saw Far From Home twice. The first time I saw Far From Home, I was underwhelmed. The second time I saw Far From Home, I really enjoyed it. But across both viewings, I still feel like Nick Fury is basically playing mom.
Yeah.
And it's like...
But I feel like it makes sense with the...
With Far From Home, yes.
With the Far From Home, like...
Yes.
Ending but, thing, which but, almost made me want to rewatch almost all of the MCU in chronological sure. order to try to find hints, if there were hints, or if that was just like a spur-of-the-moment decision.
But Nick Fury has basically now been put in a corner where his character is, you better not do this.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, how are we going to get away with doing this? And then yeah. he finds out later, it's like, I can't believe you did this. He's yeah. playing everyone's mom in yeah. the Marvel Universe. And it's not fun. He's not a tough guy anymore. And he also kind of stopped being a tough guy when the Florkin scratched his eye out in Captain Marvel because he was fucking with a cat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait. In Winter Soldier, he says, last time I trusted somebody, I lost an eye. And I was like, oh, that'd be a badass scene. But then they never gave us that scene.
See, I always found that funny. I thought it was funny that, like, because you would never actually admit that that's how you lost your eye.
And I,
like,
okay,
ever.
That I get. the Florkin took his eye, but I don't think he's recovered.
No.
I think he's basically playing mom now. And I can give you the Florkin one for sure. But I think that now, like, there's a very narrow Nick Fury, and he's playing mom.
Well, I think that it happens with, like...
And it's for comedic effect. It's not badass anymore.
Well, and I think, like, can you take... I guess the question isn't even just with Marvel at that point, but, like, can you take Samuel L. Jackson seriously when he's kind of become such a parody of himself as is?
Oh, someone called him... This is really racist. I think this is racist. Is this racist? I don't know.
We'll find out if we get emails.
They go, oh, he's the black Nick Cage.
Yeah,
he'll do anything.
And I'm like,
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true, but I definitely think that, like...
And I don't think that's true for Nick Cage either.
No. I think, but I get what they're saying in the sense of, like, Nick Cage has to work real hard for you to take him seriously in a film, and most of the time he doesn't even try anymore.
Here's a little life hack litmus test. If you call it the black blank, yeah, it's racist.
Yeah.
If you're like, oh, that's kind of the black, yeah, it's racist. If you're kind of like, oh, that's the Mexican version, yeah, that's racist. You're like, oh, that's the Asian, it's racist. Okay, like that.
Well, I'm glad we clarified that after you said it.
The next thing out of your mouth is racist. Yeah, the person who called me, yo, Mexican. the person who said that to me prefaced it with something that had been told to him, but I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's also like, there's quicker way to know that you're about to say some racist shit than when you start with, I'm not a racist, but...
I'm not. This might be racist, but... Chances are, it's racist if you have to start with that, or if you tell a bunch of congresswomen, go back to your country, like our president did.
Go back to getting political on this week's episode of Geekscape.
Oh, my God. I was like, what a time to be alive. Jesus.
So, Comic-Con.
Well, speaking of politics, I heard Sam, Super Action Man, he's been active lately.
So, yeah.
He's starting to pop up.
He's very hard to reach. I've been trying to get him to actually be at the booth, but...
Oh, Matt. I got that on lock.
Okay, you got that handled?
You know how,
okay.
Like, Peter Parker, if you ever need to reach Spider-Man, Peter Parker's a pretty good person.
That's a good source. Yeah, he's a good source. It's weird. How does he know Spider-Man?
He is Spider-Man's photographer for the Bugle.
That makes sense.
And J. Jonah Jameson puts him on assignment. Peter Parker's like, oh, I got to get some pictures of Spider-Man. And he seems to be the best photographer for getting pictures of Spider-Man because he knows Spider-Man. He's friends with Spider-Man.
It's a good relationship to have.
I similarly have that relationship with Super Action Man. He has told me that he is going to be at Comic-Con.
Okay.
He will appear at the Geekscape booth. He is going to be at the Cosplay 5K Friday morning of Comic-Con at 6:30 a.m. behind the convention center. He will be running the 5K and making sure... He's not going to be running it because, like, then everybody's just second and worse.
Yeah. It's unfair.
He's going to be overseeing the Cosplay 5K. And then...
him running in that would be kind of like that show on Fox where it was like Man vs. Beast, where it's like, this person outswim a dolphin?
Like, yeah. Can you outrun Superman? Sam? It's like... No, the guy can outrun bullets. Like, jihadist bullets can't catch him. What are you going to do? He's going to be giving out prizes mainly to the women who win.
That's about right for
Sam. That's about right. He's like, you know, babes, when you finish the finish line, I'll get you past the second finish line. He said something like that. And I think
he's not a good dude sometimes.
He's a great dude. Matt. He's a man. And if you were a man, you would recognize. You're like, hey, he's not a good dude. Matt, you're a dude. He's a man. Okay? He's actually... He's a horrible dude. He's a great man. and he's running for office.
He sent buttons to you.
He has campaign pins that are available at the Geekscape booth, and he is running for office.
Does he have a slogan yet?
Yes, make DC great again. Make DC Comics great again.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not talking about DC, Washington, D.C. No, he just wants to carve that off and send it to the ocean. He's like, oh, you know, but he'd clean that all out. He's like, it's all corrupt. But he does want to make DC Comics great again. Mainly so he can hit on Wonder Woman.
I could back that. I'd vote for that.
I'd vote for that, too. And when I asked him about his position on, like, Trump's wall.
Yeah.
He said I'm like, do you agree with this? And he said, absolutely not. We should have four walls. He said, we should have one for our southern border. He says, Canada hasn't given us shit but hot babes and maple syrup and hockey. So, like, that's a border that's going on right there. So start working on your fucking travel visa upgrade, Derek, because Sam's going to have to check it personally. He wants a wall between Canada and the U.S., and then he wants our West and East Coasts walled.
Okay.
He says in case Atlanteans attack.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
It's a good risk.
He says in case Atlanteans attack. And
would they come from the Pacific?
Yeah. I mean, they're Atlanteans. They own three quarters of the world.
Fair enough.
You know, and he's like, that. We've underestimated them for too long. And then he watches the sky, so we may end up with a dome.
I mean,
we may end up with a domed country if Sam wins.
The dome might not be bad.
Yeah.
I, for one, support the dome.
Yeah, he says if aliens come, it's cool. I asked him about this Area 51 thing. What's going on with Area 51? Have you read about this crap online?
So, from what I can tell, it's a Facebook event.
Okay, so somebody made a Facebook event.
And it said, they can't stop all of us, let's storm Area 51.
And it's a bunch of, like, hipsters.
Yeah, just like, we're going to take Area 51.
And they're going to storm the gates of Area 51.
Yeah.
Sam says it's a very bad idea.
I agree that it's probably a bad idea. You know who I hope
And then
appears-
the Air Force supposedly said, come at it, like, try
yeah,
it.
Yeah, something. Give it a shot.
Give it a shot is, like, the Air Force's official response. I think Sam wrote that tweet.
Do you think Tom DeLonge will be there?
Oh, Tom DeLonge's... he's already in Area 51. Tom DeLonge's already in Area 51, and... Super Action Man said, like, this is a very bad idea. Like
dealing with terrible alien,
he says that there's alien technology beyond, like, man's capacity for comprehension that, like, cannot be unlocked.
I also, like, I just find it funny because it's like, what is your game plan? Like, you think that the evidence that you're looking for is going to be in, like, plain sight when you storm the gates? Like, it's not like...
Let's start opening crates!
You know what I mean? Like, it's not... Like, let's say hypothetically... There are aliens. They are in Area 51.
There are no aliens in Area 51.
Let's just hypothetically say there are. Are they going to be somewhere where you're just going to be able to walk in the front door and find them?
Like, hey, what's up, Beast Lob?
like they think they're going to just, like, walk past the gate and it's going to be, like, the headquarters for the Men in Black inside there.
I'm pretty excited for this to happen. For them to rush the gates, for there to actually be aliens inside. For them to spook the aliens scream, but they scream at a frequency that we can't comprehend, and people's heads just start
exploding. Like scanners just across the desert.
Start popping. And it's like, this is what you get.
Yeah.
Okay, you could have gone to a fucking Migos concert.
Like, this is the dumbest thing that hipsters have done since Firefest.
This is this is what happens when you're bored with Coachella. You decide to rush Area 51, you morons, and now you die. Yeah, you know what? I'm rooting for aliens.
I'm going to be watching the news that day. Sitting at the comfort of my office going, what's going down with Area 51?
What's the day?
I forget. I think it's in September.
But it's like, you know what? Thank you for evolving us from monkeys. Aliens, thank you for making us missing links and evolving us from monkeys and into our modern forms. And now you can go ahead and take out the trash. Like, we don't need people who are going to rush the gates at Area 51.
So it says,
can we find the organizer and rush his house?
So I'm trying to find the actual date, but what I did find was a CNN article that went up today that says, feds warn UFO enthusiast against storming Area 51 as the military stands ready and armed. So, really, if you're thinking about it in September, that's all it says, it's in September.
Fuck rushing Area 51. Why don't you nerds go and rush the concentration camps in Texas?
Yeah, September 20th is the plan date.
Rush. There's other places that need rushing, people. Like, you don't need to rushing Area 51.
What if there's aliens in there? Let's storm Loch Ness, man. Nessie can't hide from all of us.
Listen, man. Stonehenge, what's up with that? Let's go rush it. Okay? Anybody want to tip over those heads at Easter Island? Let's do it. Be sick.
YOLO!
How do you know you're too bored when you do stuff like that? Okay, so Matt.
Yes.
We got Comic-Con. We're driving down tomorrow. You're taking the train. I am driving half of the booth. Guy is driving half of the booth, and we are going down to Comic-Con. We will be there through Sunday.
Yep. We're going to rendezvous with Derek, Mika, and Steven from Analog Jones.
Yep. And then we're throwing up the booth. What is the booth going to, like, what is it going to consist of? Because all I know is Super Action Man's going to be there.
Super Action Man's going to be there. Shirts are going to be there.
Shirts are going to be there.
A mix of Geekscape and Horror Movie Night shirts will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, which is the preview night, we don't have anything super crazy going on, but come and say hi. That's the best time to get one-on-one time with us.
There are no signings Wednesday, right?
No.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, no.
We're going to have I have boxes and boxes. You see a couple of them here of giveaways.
Yeah, we're going to get rid of most of that shit.
No, we're going to get rid of all of it.
Yeah.
I don't want that stuff coming back with me. We are going to have... Well, let's set up a Super Nintendo.
Yep.
Let's set up a Super Nintendo.
I got some music lined up that we can run through the TV as well, unless we want to just keep the authentic Super Nintendo music.
No, we don't want music.
Okay, fair enough.
We spent
hours mixing it, but that's...
We're okay. Put on your headphones and enjoy your music. Matt, your tastes are a little eccentric.
Just a bit, not that eccentric.
I love you, and you definitely DJed a Geekscape event for us 3 years ago, and I would have you back.
Yeah.
But Comic-Con is not our event.
That's fair, but I think that we can still make some changes.
We will do this. We will have a dance party.
Okay. Oh, always.
If you want free stuff, this is what's going to have to happen.
Dance party for free
shit. If you want to come to the Geekscape booth and get free stuff, this is what I'm going to propose. Let's just plan the booth now because it's only a day away.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Matt, listen to me. Somebody comes up and like, how do you win this stuff? They can play Derek in a Mario Kart course on Super Nintendo and beat him.
Okay.
First off, if you want free shit, You got to take out your phone and you got to subscribe to some podcasts.
Oh, so we've only got like 10, so that's not that many podcasts to subscribe
to. You don't have to subscribe to our podcast. You can subscribe to Derek's. You can subscribe to Steven's. You can subscribe to Megaran's. You can subscribe to any of the podcasts.
Whichever one sounds the best for you.
Whatever is your flavor.
Yeah. Because there is something that is your flavor.
There is something for your flavor unless you are a functional adult.
Why would you be at Comic-Con?
Are you at Comic-Con? If you're female and functional, you're not going to be in the Geekscape. No, I'm kidding. It was like, I mean that because our demographics are like, I was telling that to my friend George, I'm bringing him on to help me with the podcast. And he's like, do you know your demographics? And I go, shamefully, it's 85% male or something like that. Like, I don't want that. If you're a female and you listen to Geekscape, you're a unicorn. You're a unicorn and you're beautiful. And I'll sing you a song from the day you were born. You're a unicorn. This is your song.
You missed your calling, John.
No, no. Free Geekscape has just steered off the road. It fucking ended up in ditches. They're like, what is that sound?
Rush area. It's like a dog whistle.
They opened Area 51. Fucking, why'd they open the Ark of the Covenant? So, you have to subscribe to the Geekscape podcast.
Have to do that.
One of the podcasts. Doesn't matter.
Whatever, but even then, that's not enough to get some free shit.
You have to beat Derek in Mario Kart.
Boom.
Or Super Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo. Or Dance Party.
Boom.
Or beat Matt how long in Street are we Fighter 2.
Well, that's going to be real easy. There's going to be a lot of people walking out with free shit.
I'll be like, hey, you got to beat Secret of Mana.
What's the length of the Dance Party? Like, I'm not accepting just like a quick like 5-second little... saying like 30 seconds.
You got some Migos?
Yeah.
I'm just going to...
No, I'm not, I'm not.
This podcast is just going to be me making fun of Migos. You got... Okay, that... Only and only when the Dance Party comes out.
Yeah.
Can you play your
music? I'll have the playlist ready.
That being said, the one thing I do know about the booth is from Friday to Sunday, we will be home and we are hosting a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame musician.
DMC?
And our good friend Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC. He will be there with a superhero comic. We did a panel together a few years ago and they were looking for a place to set up this year. And I was like, roll over to Geekscape and be our personal guest. So he'll be there all weekend.
And if you don't know who DMC is.
You're very young.
Yeah. I had someone there like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, ugh. The only reason why you know what hip-hop is because of DMC. Yeah.
You don't know how to walk this way, so you shouldn't be talking this way.
No, absolutely. 100%. You be illin, sir.
You be illin.
So, on top of DMC being there, Thursday, still kind of a light day.
Good.
But we will have 2 hours with our good friend Andre Gowan.
Andre Gower's going to be there?
Yeah, he's going to hang out
from Monster Squad.
From 3 to 5. Because he's doing a panel that day, so he's going to be in the building.
You know what, Matt? I hate to take credit for this, but I'm totally going to take credit for this. He is at Comic-Con promoting a trade paperback for our good friends at Fanbase Press.
Yeah.
And Fanbase Press put out a comic book where the main characters are like 80, like basically 80s.
It's called The Sequels, I think.
It's called The Sequels, and he wrote the foreword. And it was really cool that Barbara and Bryant Dillon had me to dinner, and they were like, hey, so we need a favor. And I was like, what's that? They're like, we want you to introduce it to Andre because we want him to write the foreword for our trade paperback of The Sequels. And I was like, oh, yeah, let me text him right now.
Yeah. Oh, he's the man.
By the time dinner was over with, it was done.
Yeah, Andre's the man.
Andre's great. So he's going to be there 3 to 5.
Yep, 3 to 5. Okay. That's it for Thursday.
Okay.
Then it's just boy time.
I loved it. That's it for Thursday. Whoever comes by the booth, you can help us bring in the shirts George ordered.
But then Friday, this is Friday and Saturday are a little bit busier. So at 11 a.m., we got S.J. Brown.
Scott.
Yeah. I just stumbled all over that because I'm dyslexic.
I love that.
S.G. Brown.
Yeah, he's a fantastic writer. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, I highly recommend Less Than Hero and Breathers by him are both fantastic.
The one I like about him is the one with the luck.
I just read that too.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So you can trade luck from people. Like you can zap, if you're really lucky, I can take luck from you. You can take luck from me, but it has to happen through a handshake. And it's a cool kind of modern noir in San Francisco storyline where someone has taken the luck from I think like somebody who'd won the lottery or something like that. And he has to figure out who stole it.
I'll have to double check. I wonder if that's fatal. An indirect sequel to Less Than Hero that also has like a lot of elements like that. Anyway, and then from 3 to 4, we got Jay Washington.
My good friend Jay Washington from Collider.
Yeah.
And he was on the podcast a few months ago.
Yep. And then
check on his health.
And then from 5:30 to 6:30, back at the booth after a couple years hiatus.
A 2-year hiatus.
Space Command will be hanging out with us.
Who's on the panel for Space Command? Who's on the signing?
I would embarrass myself trying to read the names just because I am not good at knowing names of Star Trek writers, but a lot of Star Trek writers.
Okay. We're good.
And then we've got for Sunday. Saturday. Sorry. Saturday. Not to pick favorites. This is probably my personal favorite lineup of guests, just because they're all people that I'm friends with. So from 11:30 to 12:30, we'll be hosting the Geek History Lesson meetup with Jason and Ashley.
I love them.
Great people.
They were recently on the show.
Yep. From 2 p.m. until 3 p.m., we have Don and Andy.
I love Don and Andy.
Great people. And then from 3 p.m., the Mega Ran meetup.
So Don and Andy have this brand new Kickstarter going up for their comic book, and they're doing pretty good with it, but they're going to come and hang with us.
Yep, and then they will also be the only people that hang with us on Sunday at 1 p.m.
I am so happy with this light signing schedule.
Yep, you're welcome. Now, there is, you know, at least one more email floating around that we'll find out what happens with that, but whatever.
Yeah, I invited my friend Satine Phoenix to come and sign on the at the booth, because they've got a new Kickstarter for this. Satine, I don't even know what it is. But
but there's a Kickstarter, and it's out there.
I'm guessing it's D&D related. I'm guessing, because everything you're doing right now is D&D related, and that's amazing. I'm also guessing that it's going to be hugely successful, because it's D&D related, and you guys are kicking ass. So at the booth, Matt, our friends at Cantrip Candles have given me a box of candles. And do you know about these Cantrip Candles?
I don't, but I'm looking to see what Kickstarter is. Destination Fantastic is the name of
it. It's a teen's Kickstarter, yeah.
It's a documentary travel show that follows Dungeon Master hosts in a far-flung quest into the fabled origins of the fantasy genre. So it's a documentary about the fantasy genre.
That's kind of cool.
That's pretty dope.
People are going to want to get that. People are going to want to see that. So if you're into like Dungeons & Dragons, if you're into role-playing games like they are, you're going to want to know like where some of these myths about the, like trolls and elves and dragons come from. And that's kind of cool that they're doing a documentary series delving into that. So Cantrip Candles is my friend Christoph's company. Let's say you play D&D.
Yeah.
Okay, so like you get all your D&D friends together.
This is going to be like when you have me drink those energy drinks, right?
No.
I'm just like pouring. The mana potions.
Matt, let me pour this candle wax on your shirt. Let me pour it on your bare skin. Ugh. Like that movie Body of Evidence with Madonna and Willem Dafoe. Do you remember that movie?
Listen, you're saying that like it's absurd, but the very first time that I did a convention with you, you're like, man, I need you to shave my back for this cosplay.
Yeah. Welcome to Geekscape. I didn't make socially successful Scape. Like, we're building Geekscape. Shit's gonna get weird.
That's what I'm saying. So I
shit's gonna get a
you're
weird.
Acting like it's far-fetched that you would be pouring hot wax
on
me.
I would never pour hot wax in your balls. Cut to 38 hours later.
Yeah, the rest of your body, however.
Matt, tell me if it hurts.
Then you know, pull me in, coach.
Then you know it's working. It's a montage of Matt just getting like mutilated.
No. I just wanted to give comic books away.
I just wanted to be a friend. I didn't want to. What are we doing in Mexico?
No, not like this.
I'm not cutting my finger off. Matt, it's cool. Just
well, sew it back on. Just do it. You're my friend.
Snort it or you're a pussy. So listen, Cantrip Candles. Let's say you get together with your D&D folks.
This is why we can't get sponsorships. We get way too distracted while trying to promote shit.
Matt, these are sponsorships.
I know. But we're fucking up the ad read. Yeah. It's mostly me. I'm sorry.
We get these. Okay, let's say you get your friends together to play some D&D. My friend Christoph has these scented candles that are themed to stuff in the like D&D-ish world, like a tavern or a forest or all these things. And they have maps on them, like you would have on tabletop gaming. And all the candles are basically, you know, you light them and it sets the mood for your D&D game.
I like it.
And they're pretty awesome and he's done really well with them. So he'll be there kind of walking around this weekend. But I said, hey, man, you're coming down for like a day or two. Why don't you just send me down there with some candles and we'll have them out at the booth. And we'll just see how they do.
Yeah.
But no pressure.
So less Comic-Con
questions. We'll have a very, like, our booth will smell good.
It will.
It's basically what I'm telling you.
I'm fine with that. So last question that I have about San Diego. Is there anything that you're excited about outside of the Geekscape booth? Any exclusives or anything that you're like going to try to track down?
No. Hey, Matt, I'm so effed up right now.
I know.
Like, I went to New Mexico, the Northeast. I came back for a week or two. I ran that big race on Saturday that I freaking didn't. That was a horror show. The heat wave hit, and the entire race just turned into a disaster. It was a 50K in 31 miles, and I, at 22, just felt things starting to give. And I was like, this is psychotic. I'm not going to die of heat stroke out here in the desert. and I pulled the plug, which is a smart thing to do because I felt my body starting to actually give sometime around, it was like noon or one, and the temperature was over 100 degrees. And I got back to the aid station that I had left about 40 minutes earlier, and I was like, I'm pulling the plug on this. And the paramedics were like, are you okay? Can you sit down? Like, are you need ice? And they started rushing me with all this stuff, and I was like, guys, I'm perfectly fine. But I was about to not be fine.
Yeah.
And that race was really good until it really wasn't. And then, and to put it in perspective, a fourth of that race, of which only 200 people entered, over 50 of them dropped out.
Jesus Christ.
It was a massacre. I don't know any other race that I've seen that many DNFs. And I'm like, oh. And I was pissed because everything was working, but that, I wasn't going to get heat stroke a week before Comic-Con. It wasn't going to happen.
No, it's not
I was like,
idea.
This can go really bad. It's 7 miles between aid stations in the desert, in the mountains. Let's not do this.
Yeah.
Let's just go 2 miles back instead of 5 miles forward. Let's go back and let's just pull the plug and make sure that Comic-Con's fun.
Yeah.
So I'm tired and I'm going to go straight from Comic-Con. I'm driving from San Diego right to the airport to go back to the Northeast. I'm gonna do that for a week, and then I'm coming back for a week, and then I think I'm going to freaking Crimea.
Did Sam approve that? Because that doesn't sound safe.
I may be going for Sam.
Okay, got it. So you're going as a representation.
Yeah.
Or a distraction.
Distraction. I got invited to speak at a conference in Crimea, which I don't even know if that's a Ukraine or Russia or what. I have my reservations about the whole thing. Sam definitely has.
So what you're saying is that
Sam's definitely like not happy.
So what you're saying is if there's no more Geekscape episodes after like mid-August, you're probably dead.
Yeah, I'm in the gulag. Yeah, like,
if you don't hear from Jonathan by like mid-September. Yeah,
somebody definitely read my Twitter. Somebody definitely read my Twitter. Somebody, you know. And I was invited by a former student. I have a couple of students who are Russian. They're my former students from like 10 years ago. One of them was like, hey, we have this conference. We'd love for you to come speak at it. I'm like, when am I going to get a chance like this again? But also, I don't want a situation where like in 10 years, I've got this great opportunity to not turn out for me because they're like, oh, we have a photo from 10 years ago, you shaking hands with this person who ended up electrocuting a fucking... I don't fucking know. I'm just paranoid.
That's a little more paranoid than I was expecting.
But Matt, like, you don't know... Okay, so I Googled this storytellers conference.
Yeah.
Dude was there 2 years ago, like a year or two ago. Like, Putin was there. So, like, what the fuck do I do if this guy who... I don't know if he's a good guy. And, like, what would you do if you met, like, any of those politicians you don't fucking agree with? Like, and they, like, put their hands out. Okay, I've thought about this. Ready, Matt?
Yeah.
This is what happens.
You shake the hand because...
No, fuck that.
I mean, if you want to live, you don't have to say I agree with, but it's like, hey, his head's out there. Hey, nice to meet you.
Oh, I'm faking a cough.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, good move. I'm going to act like I'm sick.
You have to have some reason to not make a political stance because little Jonathan London will be in the gallows.
Yeah, I have two. Listen, Geekscapers, the three who listen to the show, who are still listening.
Yeah, still
tell me this way. If these things will work. Okay, cough.
Like, cough, I think, could
cough.
Work.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm not shaking hands because...
Get a fist bump.
I'm not fucking...
It doesn't matter. No. I would get a fist bump. I'd get a fist bump from Hitler just for the story.
Fuck that. I don't want that photo existing. So here's my alternate. If I can find chocolate-covered pretzels...
Are you going to do the fucking mall rats?
Stink palm.
You're going to stink...
Come on, man. Like, that's legendary. If you could do the stink palm...
I'll give you that.
Come on.
The stink palm would be huge.
Would you stink palm Kim Jong-il?
Would you stink palm Kim Jong-il? Here's the thing with the stink palm. How quickly are you going to be able to get onto your plane shortly thereafter? Because I feel like they're going to... you don't know, Kim Jong-il, from all I've learned...
It's that he watches movies.
Yeah, so he's going to be like...
You just fucking stink
palm. Yeah, he's going to be like, you Jason Lee'd me, son of a bitch.
You fucking stuck your hand in your crack. You stuck your hand in your ass. You grabbed a bunch of chocolate-covered pretzels, and you shook my hand. You fucking... You dog. What do they call us? They call us like...
I think a dog is about right, yeah.
So... I don't know.
This is way off topic. I just wanted to talk about the Jaws stuff I wanted to buy.
But this is what I'm thinking about.
I know, your brain's crazy.
My head is not in South... Listen, Geekscape, if you go to Comic-Con, you're like, hey, Jonathan, what's up? And I'm off, like, staring into the distance. I'm having horror nightmares of me getting my balls electrocuted in a gulag for the next 50 years.
Meanwhile, people had to talk me out of going to the Fremont Troll in Seattle at, 11:30 at night. I was like...
Well, you're a pussy.
So I was like, how bad could that be? And they're like, you're going to hang out underneath a bridge in Seattle.
The troll isn't real.
I think they were more concerned about, unsavory folks hanging out underneath.
Karate chop those motherfuckers. They're already drugged.
True.
They're already off balance.
Push them lightly.
They're on drugs. They're like, hey, man.
Well, I do want to make two quick shout-outs.
Don't be a pussy. You went to the troll, right?
I did go to the troll.
Did anything
happen? I just went during the day.
Man, you should have gone at
night. I was going at night. That was the plan.
You should have gone at night and been like, everyone's warriors.
People were like, please don't do that. Please don't go there. That's stupid.
Man, please. Gang territory. In Seattle? The grungies? What are the fucking gangs in Seattle?
The grungies. Do you remember the grungies?
The lumberjacks are coming out.
Do you remember the skit, the grungies?
No.
I think it was... I want to say it was on the Ben Stiller show, the very short-lived sketch show.
I have the DVD.
And it was a parody of the Monkees, but it was all like Kurt Cobain and Eddie Vedder running around doing
depressed.
But they were doing the silly Monkees stuff. Oh god, I hope that I have the right show. But yeah, that's fucking so funny. You said the Grungies.
It sounds like it because it was on MTV.
So the things that I am actually going to try to grab.
I didn't ask.
I asked you so I could answer.
Piece of shit.
Hey, at least I'm honest. Derek, this morning at 8 a.m. sent me this exclusive photo, which is a tiki cup that's Jaws.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, $60.
What?
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, and I do love the stuff that Mondo does, tiki cup, I just haven't looked at anything. Yeah. I think I like the dumpster fire, little cute dumpster fires that they're selling.
So they're doing, Funko.
There's little dumpster fire toys.
Oh, I have to try to track that down.
I think that's the only thing I've seen from this.
So the other one the other Jaws thing, I don't know why there's so many Jaws exclusives this year, is Funko, who does their pops, is a Jaws eating Quint Funko pop.
Is it a 45th anniversary?
I guess it is. Okay.
That would
no, because it's 75.
75, okay, no.
But yeah, I have no clue. But so there's that. I'm also...
Wait, what's the Quint?
It's Quint in the shark's mouth with blood all over it as a Funko Pop. So okay. It looks adorable.
That's hilarious.
And then every year they put out some weird, obscure wrestling figure. And this year it's a Macho Man Randy Savage Slim Jim advertisement figure that comes in a Slim Jim box, and it's him holding the Slim Jims in both hands with the giant cape that says Slim Jim on the back of it.
I hate wrestling, and I think people who watch it are kind of questionably unintelligent, but that is kind of cool.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that I kind of want. And then I found
out... And to tell you the truth, my big problem is really only with WWE. I think that Cody Rhodes should take his promotion.
Oh, he's killing it. Their pay-per-view this week was amazing.
I think they should take that promotion, and I've got my whole plan.
Do you know what they did this weekend? Because I know you don't follow that stuff.
I don't care.
They did a pay-per-view.
I just know that they're doing well.
Well, no, not just that.
And I want them to put WWE out of business.
They did a pay-per-view this weekend where all the ticket sales and all of the wrestlers donated their money to a charity for people that suffered from gun violence. And raised $150,000 in one night through the pay-per-view.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? That's the shit that they're doing where I'm like, that's what I want to support.
So they asked Paul to be on a show a year ago or this and that. And yeah. Paul just... I'm not going to put Paul's shit on blast, but, his focus is just in other places in wrestling. But
that's a company you want to get behind.
That's when I first heard about them. And I know Mega Ran does stuff with them. And I want to an alternative to... Vince.
And they seem like a good alternative, too. It's not just it's the fantastic. Opposite. It's that they're trying to make changes in the world, okay, which is amazing.
This is how I'm going
to
fix wrestling, right?
Cody, you listening?
Well, Cody, you can call me anytime. You got Paul's info, so you can get my info. So listen, this is what we're going to do. Tell me if this is going to work. I'm being dead serious.
I'm sure you are.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. There's going to be three rosters.
Okay.
There's going to be a roster that works, and each roster works 8 months of the year.
Okay.
You get 4 months off.
Yeah, for actual season. Real
actual
earned rest.
Off season. So let's say you started in January, right?
Yeah.
That roster works January to August.
Mm-hmm.
There's a roster that starts in May.
And goes from May until like September or something like that.
No, yeah, it does 8 months.
Yeah, whatever that right? is. I can't
does,
do that
it does
the in my head quickly.
No, that one goes till, let's see, carry the one. Yeah, so you're working eight. So if you're on one of the rosters, your first 8 months or your first 4 months
are over for overlap.
So yeah. There's 4 months overlapping with the other rosters. When you start your 8 months, your first 4 months are overlapping with the last 4 months of the one roster. Your next 4 months are
That's
the
brilliant.
Beginning of the next four rosters.
I love it.
There's three rosters.
So there's always time for the feuds that like
all, yeah. You will see everyone wrestle everyone.
And then you can
not only that, but those feuds with the 4 months overlap between the three promotions, everybody gets a 4 month overlap. Depending on the health of the participants, you can do an NBA Finals or you can do a WrestleMania. You can do a Super Bowl from the three rosters, but you're going to have to stay healthy.
Yeah, it's based on how well you're taking care of yourself.
You know, it's how well you're taking care of yourself. But there's time to be a good wrestler. You get and every wrestler gets 4 months off.
Yeah, that's the key thing.
It is up to you and your doctor if you want to participate in a pay-per-view event that happens during your four times off. Because obviously,
if you just want to rest up,
well, NBA players they go and play for their national teams. So like you, if you're from Australia or you're from Germany or you're from South America, or Argentina won the gold a couple years ago. Like you're gonna like the Olympics, you're gonna go and participate in those sports during your summers. From the NBA or from baseball, or I mean, obviously there's sports going year round. So if you're in your off season and there's a pay per view you want to be a part of, obviously you can be a part of it. But it is during your off season.
Yeah, and I think and you
that
acknowledge
that is how we do wrestling.
I think you just saved
three rosters
in a very simple way.
Very simple. Three rosters, each work for 8 months. 4 months overlap with the other two rosters.
Boom.
And boom. You get all the matches
That's brilliant.
You want. You get everybody meeting up, and everybody gets 4 months off.
And it's I think it's
the end.
Cody, listen.
The end.
Problem solved.
And you
give I love it.
And you get you.
I'm giving you a high five. That's brilliant.
And they're unionized.
Yeah.
They're stunt workers.
Yeah.
That stuff is expensive. But if you're raising money, like this new promotion is raising money, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do this right.
That is the only wrestling I'll support. It's something that's like, okay, we're going to treat our employees like human beings and not fucking meat grinder paste.
Yeah,
just gets thrown into this shit.
Yeah, now that's yeah. I mean, we've all seen the John Oliver thing at this point, which just is like,
well, I lived it.
I know you did.
I lived the John.
But
Oliver
I mean,
thing.
The people who haven't, like,
so
you have no excuse to not be aware of what's
then I'll
happening.
Buy a Macho Man toy.
Yeah.
you really like that idea?
I love that idea. I really do. I genuinely love that idea.
I put some thought into it.
Well, because for me, like, as someone who does watch WWE, and I admittedly feel guilty about it, but
it's frustrating because the performances are crap
because
they're injured.
And that's the thing. And, like, I don't need to see the same guys all year round.
No.
Especially when there's guys that I like who aren't getting put on anything because they're focusing on, like, you know, when you have a John Cena that's there all year round, not only are you grinding that dude to a halt, but, like, you're also making him stale. It's like
absolutely.
Reading, you know what I mean? Like it's like
absolutely.
Giving us time away from these people also makes us more excited when they come
hungry.
Back.
It makes you hungry for them.
But
and here you get to see somebody wrestling everybody. And you would tour circuits. Like it's like
no, it's a good call.
Because you always have two rosters working at the same time.
I hope people like this episode, by the way. This is all over the place.
Yeah, it is. Welcome to the scoop.
Let me sing about that.
Let me sing the unicorn song again.
Don't do that.
No. since you have two rosters always going at the same time.
Well, three. You have the
no,
three.
No.
Oh, at any time. Yeah.
At any time, there's two rosters active.
Yeah.
You can do the East Coast, West Coast tour, North South tour, or one can be overseas while the other one is
that's
domestic.
Such,
like,
such a good
you
idea.
You just figure it out, but they have Raw SmackDown going at the same time.
Yeah, that's such a good
All
idea.
All they got to do is have a third roster
and just bounce it around.
Make everybody just work 8 months. You're going to work for 8 months, like any pro athlete.
You don't even have to.
And then you're done.
You're even saying the roster. I don't even think it needs to be something that we actively know about. I mean, if you just want to literally behind the scenes, they're broken into these three categories.
You want the rivalries. You want to.
You
know,
do want the rivalries.
You want to know that when those overlap and there's a big event during that 4 month period with these two,
that it's a big deal. That it's the one time you're going
to
see it.
This is your chance to see these two people battle. So you got to build that up for 8 months.
True. That, and that's the other thing that they rush too quickly into feuds. It's not like when I've been watching a lot of the old Raw from like the 90s when I was a kid, and because like Raw was basically just, let's bring out some jobbers and make like these new guys look good, and the pay-per-views were only every 3 months. Like, there was actually like a story building throughout 3 months where you're getting excited. Now you have a pay-per-view every 3 weeks, it feels like. That's not enough time to tell a compelling story.
No, let's build the actual stories. Let's tour the country with them. Let's tour the world with them. And that way you know that they... you got to watch. Yeah,
there's a way to do this right, and
you've
got to
watch the pay per view because it may be your only chance in this year
to see that matchup.
This is your NBA Finals, and people get loyalty to brands, so they're going to be like, "Yo, that roster is my roster.
Yeah,
that roster is my roster." It's like the same way that people like East Coast versus West Coast and some of these sporting events.
Yeah,
it's like, here we are. That one roster is mine. This roster is mine. That roster. And obviously you can trade between rosters here and there, but
no, I think this is brilliant.
Thank you.
We got way off topic.
No, we didn't.
But I love it.
No, we didn't.
Because it's Geekscape.
Subscribe to Megaran's podcast.
Hit up Matt Mania.
Matt Mania. You go ahead and field my idea for fixing wrestling forever.
Yeah. Yeah, Megaran. You're friends with most of those WWE guys. Go infiltrate too.
You got a little. Your gears are grinding.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna talk to. We're gears. Talking to Megaran on Saturday.
You like it?
Yeah. Oh, we should talk to.
As someone who detests wrestling in its current state,
but you want to like it.
I want to like what you guys like, it's guys in spandex. Of course, I like it. it's like I can't be like, that's stupid, then go read comics.
Yeah. It's like 100 Sams just running around.
So like. But I can't deal with the fact that these are real people.
Yeah.
So they're
putting themselves through
really
some real shit.
Ruining their lives doing this. So I feel like I don't know enough about it to say something like this, but I've thought about this. I've thought about this basically since that John Oliver special. And maybe we do this.
Yeah,
maybe maybe we start putting in people's ears that they should be three rosters.
I like it. I love it, actually.
It'd be awesome, cool, right?
I'm on board.
That organization should have three rosters. Matt, I think that you were still telling us what kind of trash you're going to buy.
The only other... So
I'm kidding.
I actually found out... So my favorite clothing company is this company, Creepy Co. Of course it is. They do very like fancy looking button-ups that until you get up close, you can't tell that it's horror stuff.
Oh, yeah. The designs are like Jason masks and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
They're our booth neighbors this year. I just got their email yesterday that was like, hey, who's going to Comic-Con? We're hanging out at booth 3921. I'm like,
Holy shit.
Like,
wow.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to drop a pretty penny over at the table.
That booth seems to be the different booth every year.
Well,
is it just me?
Remember the 1 year we just had it as a hangout area for the first 2 days?
No. That is not 31. That is not... We're at 2919. We're at 3919.
Yeah.
We're at 3919. That hangout area is what's his name's
Maddox. But does Maddox's. That go by odd numbers or does it?
It climbs. So you're thinking it's the booth on the other side of Maddox's. That's on the corner. It's the corner.
That is
booth.
Always different. Then
the corner booth is
every
our
year.
Neighbors
it's
are different every year.
It's not the same. I mean, I love our location.
I love our location,
but I do miss when we were on the other side of that wall, when it was like the perfect, like all of those people are gone now.
It was perfect for you because it was all Fangoria and like Trauma.
But I also,
as a purveyor of shit, you were like, your wallet couldn't afford for us on the other side of the wall.
But
you were
also,
Full Moon Films, don't mind if I do.
But
you came out with a special edition of a movie I have 9 versions of?
Yeah.
Don't mind if I do.
Ooh, the Subspecies complete series.
Oh, you got this on Ultraviolet?
But I think that, as much as I do like our current location, and there are like certain people that we are friendly with.
Totally.
I think when we were on the other side of the wall, when it was like Becca and David and the legendary folks, like we would go out to dinner with those people.
Yeah.
Like we became really, really tight with them. So that was kind of a bummer when they all started to disappear and we changed locations.
And I agree that you don't, that like that corner has been a little bit like,
yeah,
we don't know what to expect, and then like Legendary left, and now we have like Disney Music or something like that.
That was Disney Music the one year. Now it's Yu-Gi-Oh is always across from
Yu-Gi-Oh
us.
Yu-Gi-Oh is tight as well.
Yeah. The only person I ever remember is, and I hope that she's there this year, is Laura, the girl who sells the artwork on the table on our left-hand side.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
But if freaking that those people are there, she's not there.
Yeah, well...
That's the side I'm talking
that's
about.
That's shit.
Directly next to us.
Yeah.
That is 3921.
Damn it. Oh, well, I guess so she's not going to be there.
You get your stupid shirts...
I'm one, but dude, there's,
but you don't get
there's
to
a
hang
new
out,
one.
That girl who's an artist.
Lara's really cool, but they have a new shirt that I'm gonna buy called "The Real Men Wear Pink," and it's just an all pink button up. But when you get up close, it's intestines. And I was like, sign me up. I'll wear that on some dates.
No, you're not. No, you're not wearing that on a date. You're wearing it maybe on first dates.
Which also happen to always be last dates, and I don't understand why.
Is that right?
No, I'm kidding.
Do you get first dates?
I don't go on dates.
No, Matt.
John.
Fuck.
I'm busy, dude.
You're busy. So would you be less busy?
There are
you,
Bill Nye videos to watch.
No, yeah.
I got 2 hours.
Anybody want to go see Crawl? Matt, would you be less busy? Would you make time for dates?
Oh, I do. I haven't found anyone that I've been like intensely interested in that's in a... The few people who I have had an interest in are not in a good spot to start dating anyone right now. So,
Or is that just the bullshit they're feeding you?
No.
Come on, man.
No. We'll talk about it off.
I'm not in a good place. It's like,
No. I determined they were not in a good place.
Well, good on you for doing that. Because as a guy, you can be like, yeah, she's probably not in a good place. But damn, do I want to hit?
Yeah, no. Okay, I was like,
good for you. I'm glad that
I was like,
you're
going through a bad thing, and like going right into a relationship is not what you need.
Fuck you up. No, thank you for being a discerning human being. That is fantastic. So, I love that you're not like, but I still want to hit it.
Yeah. Oh, she just got single. No. Time to roll on in.
She's dealing with the death of her grandmother.
Someone needs a shoulder to cry on.
She can cry into that pillow when her face is in it. Like,
yeah, like
thank
no,
you for not being a trash.
No, why, you've known me this long, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but there have been instances where I'm like, maybe.
Yeah, but post therapy and daily meditation, it's been a very different Matt Kelly.
And I meditated before you got here.
Nice.
This is what we're about. I have
thought you said you were sleeping.
Here's what happens with meditation. When I come out of my meditation, I'm always like, yeah, I'm kind of sleepy. does it make you sleepy sometimes?
No, I do it first thing in the morning, though.
Okay.
I'm like, as soon as I wake up, I do my headspace meditation and then like hop in the shower.
What I do is whatever workout I'm doing, I'll go to the workout and I'll meditate there. But I have been running around with Key and I did inventory. I had to deliver some stuff.
Well, I also fall asleep to the Calm app, which helps me out a lot because that puts me in like a peaceful headspace when I fall asleep as well. Yeah. So, because it's just a simple, it's like a white noise app that like gives you the sound of like rainfall or like sitting by the beach and like just
or me singing a unicorn song.
Yeah, well, I mean, we should submit that one for sure. But
if you listen to Keyscape and you're a woman, you're the perfect woman for me.
Yeah, I miss when Geekscape would break into musical numbers, so I'm really excited
we just
about
did.
This. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm excited that this is happening because it doesn't happen as much as
it
used to.
I usually have guests who I'm getting to know on the podcast, so I can't just bust a groove.
Or they're like people that you actually respect as human beings.
No, I respect you because you, well. Dude, I'm sorry about that tweet. I had to take that shot. Your tweet was, what was your tweet?
It was
I've never felt cooler.
It says you never feel cooler than walking around the airport listening to Wu-Tang Clan. He said, look in a mirror.
I said, walk past a mirror.
Yeah.
Take a glance and see if you still think you're cool. Because I just imagined this white motherfucker walking through an airport, bobbing his head to Wu-Tang, and then the second you glance at an airport in the mirror, you'll do what I do when I glance in a mirror and be like, oh, that's reality.
Oh, see, I just hide from reality.
No,
that's the solution.
I look at the mirror and I'm like, okay, you look like Ray Romano and Jimmy Fallon fucked and had the Karate Kid, you know, hold the baby to term. Okay, we're going crazy. Geekscape is,
and I'm hungry, so let's wrap this.
There's no way you want to go to Comic-Con after this podcast. You're like, maybe I'll catch you guys next year. Geekscape is, we love you. Is there anything else you want to say?
Just, you know, check out Horror Movie Night, hmnpodcast.com, and Disneydo Podcast, also on the Geekscape Network.
Why don't they just watch all our shows?
They should listen to all of our shows, but if you want more of this guy, those are your go-tos.
If this has been enough, Derek has this fantastic show.
So we've got Xbox Game Passengers, we've got the Matt Mania Podcast, we've got the Analog Jones and the Temple of Film, we've got the Over Nerds Podcast. Coming soon is the Cool Day La Podcast. We're in talks with, and this is almost definitely going to happen, so I don't mind saying this.
Okay.
Our friend rapper Word Burglar has a podcast called Do You Still Like That Movie? Where it's people rewatching a film from their childhood that they haven't seen in years and discussing it. First episode was on Ewok Adventure, Caravan of Courage.
It wasn't good then! Remember when I had Eric, the lead from the, like, the brother in that, on the podcast?
Yeah.
Caravan of Courage wasn't good then.
No, it's not a good movie. But it was a great episode to kick off the show. He's like,
I gotta listen. I love Word Burglar.
Oh, he's so nice. Sean is just a solid dude.
Fuck yes.
So they're gonna be joining our network.
Guys, our network is awesome.
Yeah. I don't even know if they're still a podcast, so I won't mention that one. But yeah, we've got a lot of really, really, really great shows with really talented people. And yeah.
Geekscapists, you've been listening to the flagship show. It may not be the best show on the podcast, but it's definitely the first one and the one that the host continues to do because he doesn't have anything else to do with life.
Yeah.
But get your episodes in before I'm in the gulag for eternity.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and hit that share button and send it to your friends. Also, whatever podcatcher you're getting this episode on, go ahead and hit that 5 stars, leave us a review. It really, really helps our visibility and helps us spread the good word of Geekscape to all the denizens of the world who need a place to just kind of be like, hey, these guys are like me. I'm weird, too. I like the unicorn song. Whatever you
No
one is saying that. Whatever you enjoyed from this episode, we got more of it to come. So please subscribe and share. We will see you guys in San Diego at booth 3919. Obviously, if you can't make it to San Antonio, if you can't make it to San Diego for Comic-Con, we have plenty of Geekscape up on our Facebook, our Twitter, our YouTube, and our Instagram handles. Matt is Saint Mort on Twitter. I'm Jonathan London. And obviously, you can talk to us and hit us up at any time. If you have anything you want to send directly, I'm Jonathan at geekscape.net, especially if you want to write for the website, because it's going to be brand new, old content, new content, and it definitely needs your voice, because you're a part of this. Geekscapists, we love you. Anything else?
No.
Over
See you at Comic-Con.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.